ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ॐ
नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
Jagannatham Deva Deva Jagat Deva Deva Vishakapim
Deva Deva
Purusham Purusha Suktena Upataste Samahitaha Translation by Srila Prabhupada. After reaching the shore of the ocean of milk, the demigods worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Vishnu, the master of the whole universe, the supreme God of all gods, who provides for everyone and diminishes everyone's suffering. With great attention they worship Lord Vishnu, who lies on the ocean of milk, by reciting the Vedic mantras known as the Purusha Sukta purport. The demigods such as Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, Lord Indra, King Indra, Chandra and Surya are all subordinate to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Aside from the demigods, even in human society, there are many influential personalities supervising various businesses or establishments. Lord Vishnu, however, is the God of gods, Parameshwara. He is Paramapurusha, the Supreme Being, Paramatma, as confirmed in the Brahma Samhita. Ishvara, Parama, Krishna, Satyat Ananda Vigraha. Krishna, known as Govinda, is the Supreme Controller. He has an eternal, blissful, spiritual body. No one is equal to or greater than the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and therefore he is described here by many words. Jagannath, Deva Deva, Vishakapi, and Purusha. The supremacy of Lord Vishnu is also confirmed in Bhagavad Gita, in this statement by Arjuna, Param Brahma Param Dhamma, Paritram Paramam Bhavan, Purusham Shashvatam Divyam, Adidevam Ajam Vibhum. You are the Supreme Brahman, the ultimate, the supreme abode and purifier, the absolute truth and the eternal divine person. You are the primal God, transcendental and original, and you are the unborn and all-pervading beauty. Krishna is Adi Purusha, the original personality of Godhead. Govindam Adi Purusham Tamaham Bhajami. Vishnu is a plenary expansion of Lord Krishna, and all the Vishnu tattvas are Parameshvara, Deva Deva. Tatra Gatva Jagannatham Deva Deva Vishakapim Purusham Purusha Suktena Upataste Samahitaha. After reaching the shore of the ocean of milk, the demigods worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Vishnu, the master of the whole universe, the supreme God of all gods, who provides for everyone and diminishes everyone's suffering. With great attention, they worship Lord Vishnu, who lies on the ocean of milk, by reciting the Vedic mantra known as the Purusha Sukta. Several names of the Supreme Lord are given here, and they all indicate the supremacy and greatness of Lord Vishnu. Jagannatha, Lord of the universe. Deva Deva, God of gods. There are so many devas. Indra Dev, Chandra Dev. The demigods are called Devata. They're gods, means they're worshipped by others, they're looked up to by others. They're in a higher dimension than others. Completely different platform to us. Generally it's understood that Devagan, Manushagan and Rakshasagan. Three different kinds of beings. Demigods, humans and subhumans, rascals, rakshasas. They're all in a different category. Men are in the middle, somewhat good, somewhat bad. Devas, they're very high level of culture, intelligence, long lifespan, all these things. Rakshasas are simply rascals. So Devagan are the great personalities of this universe. But in a completely different category, even above them, is Deva Deva, who is worshipped even by the demigods. Who is a great person, becomes he's worshipable, becomes honored. So demigods are very, very great personalities. But in comparison with them, Lord Vishnu is even much greater. Therefore they worship him. As they're going to worship him now, it's being described by offering the prayer Purusha Sukta. So another name, there are many, many names, so many names, unlimited names. Nam Nama Karibam Dha. Lord Supreme Lord has unlimited names. We have Vishnu Sahasranam. These names you'll find in Jagannath, Devadev, Rishakam. You'll find these in Vishnu Sahasranam. So many names. Most of these names in Vishnu Sahasranam are 1,000 names of Vishnu. There are more than 1,000. So many names. Even in Bhagavatam, you'll find names of Krishna which are given. You won't find anywhere else. But you'll find only in Bhagavatam there are different names given. So there are unlimited names according to Krishna's qualities, pastimes, activities. But especially these names are given in relation to his greatness. Vishakapi, the Supreme Person Vishnu, who provides for everyone and diminishes everyone's suffering. Only he can do that. Demigods, people go to demigods to pray for different boons, but ultimately those boons are granted by Lord Vishnu. And only he's also maintaining the demigods. Only he can maintain everyone. Nityo nityanam chaitanash chaitananam eko bhavnam yogadhati kama. There are unlimited living beings, but there is one among them who is supreme. Sometimes people think, it's commonly understood that Hinduism is pantheistic, and most probably Hinduism is. But the original Vedic culture recognizes different gradations of personalities within the universe, among whom the demigods are very great personalities. But they recognize that there is one supreme person who is Lord Vishnu. He is Purusha. Every one of these words can be described in different ways. Purusha, that means the supreme enjoyer, the supreme dominator. Param Purush, Prabhupada has qualified that name in the purport. Param Purush, Parameshwar. So the demigods, they are worshipping Lord Vishnu, recognizing his supremacy. Sometimes it's difficult for the demigods to recognize the supremacy of Lord Vishnu, because within their own sphere, they appear to be supreme. Others are worshipping them, and they're dispensing boons here and there. Naturally, anyone who gets in some big position, he starts to think of himself as important. But these kind of situations where there's the earth is in so much difficulty, so Bhumi Devi, the personality of the earth, has come to approach the demigods sent by Lord Brahma to ask for a solution. Now, Bhumi, she's in one sense the most important of all the planets, the earth planet, because this planet is especially meant for God realization, which is the purpose of the universe, to give the conditioned souls a chance to become God realized. So Brahma, realizing the seriousness of the situation, and realizing that there are such great demons there now, big, big demons, you see even Kamsa, he wasn't afraid even of Indra. So when you get serious demons like that on the earth, then there's some big problems. So Brahma, with all the demigods, they went to approach Lord Vishnu. When they have too much of a problem, they go to approach Lord Vishnu to ask for his intercession, for his help. So these kind of incidents are also good for the demigods, that they can realize, actually we're not supreme. They can come, they know that, but sometimes they may be somewhat forgetful. So to remind them, sometimes they put in difficulty. That also happens with Krishna is so kind to all his devotees, that even we're not like the great demigods in the heavenly planets, but even sometimes if we're doing our devotional service and everything seems to be going very nicely, and we may start to think, yes, yes, I'm such a nice devotee, I'm doing something nicely. And then Krishna may arrange something where we become completely hopeless, and all our plans are spoiled, and then again we realize, actually, it's all Krishna's mercy. Then we have to turn to Krishna for help again. So the demigods, feeling themselves incapable in this situation, which they are actually, because everyone is incapable in every situation. Whatever capability there is, only comes from Krishna. So feeling their incapability, they're approaching Lord Vishnu. That, sorry to disturb you, but we need your help. So they're approaching him with great awe and reverence, considering him the Lord of the universe, their own worshipable deity. We see people, they are Kula Devatas. So some people, their Kula Devata is Lord Shiva, some may say Mahi. But the Devas themselves, their Deva, who they are worshipping is Lord Vishnu. So they're approaching their worshipable God, Vishakapi. His name is important in this sense because he diminishes everyone's suffering. So the earth planet and the devotees on the earth and the demigods themselves are in a suffering situation. So they've come to approach Lord Vishnu in this position. So they've come to approach him with great awe and reverence. And they will chant the Purusha Sukta, which is again a prayer of great praise to the Supreme Lord, recognizing his intrinsic situation within the universe, that he gives life to all beings within the universe, and everything within the universe is going on, because he is the Purush. He is the Purush who enlivens Prakriti. This Purusha Sukta, this describes how Prakriti is enlivened or brought to life by the Purusha, how the material nature is enlivened by the Purusha, the Supreme Lord, Lord Vishnu. So they're coming to worship him, he's stated here, with full attention, very attentively. That also we see in the devotees, if we become a little complacent, then we're going on in our devotional circle. When there's some, we're going along and we're not so much attentive chanting and everything's nice. When there's some difficulty, then we become more attentive. We're chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. And then some difficulty, Hare Krishna. More attention. Remembering Krishna more. So these difficulties are arranged by the Supreme Lord for so many different purposes. Krishna's pastimes, there's not one purpose, but Krishna fulfills so many different purposes by his pastimes. But the basic purpose is paritranaya sadhana. This is the most important purpose of Krishna's pastimes. Over and above that, Krishna, his own pleasure. Leela means his own pleasure. He performs his pastimes for his own pleasure. But then again, he can perform his pastimes anywhere. He doesn't have to do it in the material world. But he specifically performs his pastimes in the material world for the uplift of his devotees. So the demigods, they're going to be uplifted. They're going to be very fortunate. Lord Vishnu will tell them, go and take birth in the Yadu dynasty, Vishnu dynasty, under Bhoja, and all these dynasties. You take birth there. And then I will come and we'll have some pastimes together. So he's giving the opportunity to the demigods and to so many other devotees, not only now, but in future also, just like we are hearing now about Krishna's pastimes, how he performed his pastimes. So even for devotees in future, they can talk about Krishna and become purified. The impersonalists, they're also transcendentalists, but they have no, what are they going to discuss? Because they think Brahman is impersonal. So what can you discuss about? What is it? It is Anantam, what is that? Upanishadic slogan, Satyam, Brahma, Param, Anantam. It's supreme, it's unlimited, it's the Brahman, it is... How many adjectives can you use? But what is there to say about the impersonal Brahman? And about Krishna, there's unlimited topics to discuss because Krishna performs unlimited pastimes. And these pastimes, they can be discussed again and again, just like you see. Ram Leela, Krishna Leela, even now they're being discussed. And who has heard these pastimes, it's not like you read some book and throw it away, finish, some useless novel. But again and again you read, because it is Mano Viravat, that Parikshit Maharaj has just described. It's very pleasing to the mind. And the effect of that, Krishna performs his pastimes and he sends Vyasadeva to compile these pastimes, and he sends his devotees to churn the nectar of these pastimes more and more. Because what will be the result of that? There's one verse, Kunti Devi has said, Srinlanti Gayanti Gunanti Bhikshasa Smaranti Nandanti Tadehita Taka Taeva Pashanti Achirena Tavakam Baba Prabhaha Baba Prabhaha Paramam Padam Bhujam. Very nice verse. She says that, my dear Krishna, those who hear about your pastimes, those who chant your pastimes, those who glorify your pastimes, Shinvanti, Gayanti, Vinanti, those who accept those pastimes within their heart, those who are submissive to Him, those who abhikshasha, those who continuously go on doing that and remember those pastimes, and take pleasure in that, or take pleasure in others doing so, they certainly see your lotus feet very soon. They cross over the ocean of material suffering and attain to you. So Krishna is very kindly coming to this world and performing these pastimes just so, one reason is the devotees, they can have something to hear about and discuss. Otherwise, we have to be there so many things to discuss. This material world, it's also in one sense unlimited. There are unlimited activities. There are unlimited people. You can write the story of so many different people's lives, and every life is a drama. Everyone's life is a drama. It's tragedy, actually. Because everyone is hoping for happiness, but everyone is simply suffering. So there's, even in the material world, there are so many things. Nowadays you see so many magazines, so many different people are writing books about so many different things. But the result of hearing about all the different activities in the material world is simply that we become more entangled. But the result of hearing about Krishna is that we become more and more Krishna conscious, and we become free from attachment to hearing about the mundane activities of this material world, and we become qualified to enter into these pastimes. So Krishna, he comes to this world, and we see the demigods are beseeching him for a solution. They didn't specifically ask for him to come, but anyway, he's going to come. The Lord of the universe, Jagannath, Deva Deva, the God of all gods, he's going to come. So the demigods, they're approaching him very prayerfully, with full attention, recognizing him as the Supreme Lord. But actually in this incarnation, Krishna, he's going to come. It's Krishna, original form of the personality of God. Krishna's to Bhagavan and Swami. He's different to other incarnations. See, the incarnation means he is avatari, he is the source of all the incarnations. So generally everyone is worshipping the Supreme Lord with great attention and respect. But particularly in his original form as Krishna, when Krishna comes, then he acts in such a way that very respectful mood is somewhat compromised, because he himself, he's not a very formal person, Krishna. The different incarnations, they're very formal. You see, Lord Narayan, blessing, Lakshmi Devi also. They're worshipped with great awe and reverence. That is necessary for the conditioned souls, to worship the Supreme Lord with great awe and reverence. But in this original form of Krishna, even though he is Jagannath, Deva Deva, Param Purusha, he is the Lord of the universe, worshipable even by the demigods, the supreme worship of supreme person. But in this form as Krishna, he displays pastimes which no other form displays, no other incarnation Krishna displays. There are many incarnations, and they're all loving and kind, and they're all beneficial for all the people of the world. And even some of them display very, just like Krishna, he's famous, is sometimes being very tricky. So even we see Vamandev, he also is playing some tricky leela with Bali Maharaj, cheating, supreme cheater. We'll find in the beginning of Bhagavatam, is described, Krishna is described as Kapata Manusha. What is that? Kapat means cheated. Actually, here it means that he's apparently, Krishna and Balaram appear as apparently humans, but not really humans. Therefore, they're Kapata Manusha. They're only apparently, they're pretending to be. But also, Krishna, he's the supreme cheetah also. Just like once, this is a long time ago, one of our devotees here in Bombay, he said to Prabhupada, "Prabhupada, I don't like to stay in India because the Indians, they're all cheaters." He said, I'm not agreeing with that also. But anyway, he had to purchase things from the market. And every time they show, "Oh, here's a very nice white-skinned man, so let me give him a special price. Special price for you only, 20 times more than the actual price." So he was upset. They're all cheaters. So Prabhupada said, "Yes, I'm also an Indian, and I cheated you more than any other Indian, because I've made you give your whole life. You're working, doing everything for me, and no pay, nothing. So I'm the biggest cheater." So in this way, Krishna, he's the biggest cheater of all. But his cheating, that is very much appreciated by all the devotees. Not always, but that we find in this canto of Bhagavatam. The gopis, they're describing Krishna as a cheater, because you attracted us more and more, and we gave up everything, we gave up all our sense of shame, we gave up our service to our husbands and families and brothers and everything. We gave it all up for the sake of you, and then you gave up us and just went away, and you left us with our bad name on. So you're the biggest cheater. What is that? That in Bhagavatam, what is that? Kitava, you're saying you're a cheater. Biggest cheater. Krishna also, that in Shikshastaka, Lampat, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is described, Lampata means Vyabhichari, means he's debauchee. That's the English word. This word we don't use in English nowadays, because everyone's a debauchee, so the word has gone out. Just like they don't talk about, there was some word, what's that word for, there's some word for premarital sex, which is, I can't even remember the word. It used to be considered a very bad thing, but now everyone does it. So the word has become lost, because it's not considered a bad thing anymore. So Krishna, in these pastimes, he's displaying some particular leelas which go beyond this awe and reverence. Here the demigods are approaching Krishna with great awe and reverence, as we should do. But for those who become very, very close to Krishna, Krishna, he's not so much interested. He wants to play with his devotees. You see here, this described that the demigods, they're worshipping, they're offering the Purusha Sukta prayers with great awe and reverence, great attention. But those who are the very topmost devotees of Krishna, they don't think, "Now I have to worship Krishna, now I have to think of Krishna with great attention." Demigods, they're devotees, they're performing their activities. Now we have to approach Lord Krishna. Okay, very careful, very attentive. But those who are the pure devotees in Vrindavan, they don't think that, "Oh, here's Krishna, now we have to be very careful and attentive." They're very relaxed. They don't have to think to fix their minds very carefully on Krishna, because naturally it's always fixed on Krishna. It never deviates. So this is the standard of devotional service that Krishna particularly likes. This is the standard that he personally relishes, where the devotees, they become so much compact in love with him that they transgress all rules and regulations of the Vedic literature. That you see Purusha Sukta, the demigods they're offering with great awe and reverence. But it's described that when the gopis, they chastise Krishna and call him all bad names, Krishna enjoys that millions of times more than the offering of the prayers of the Vedas with great awe and reverence, because it means a very close relationship. So this particularly is being described in this 10th canto of Bhagavatam, how Krishna, original Supreme Personality of Godhead, worshipable by everyone, is the Supreme Person. In other words, Purusha means Supreme Enjoyer, Supreme Person. So Supreme Person means he's a... What does it mean? It means he's a person. So like any other person, he wants affection, exchange with others. So this particularly, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has come to teach this, this highest level of love of God, which even goes beyond the chanting of the Purusha Sukta prayers by Lord Brahma. So this is a very, very deep subject. We have to approach Krishna in awe and reverence. It's not that we can say, well, Krishna likes to be chastised, let me chastise him. And we chastise him and we'll go to heaven. But when we forget, when we become so much surrendered to Krishna, that we forget that he's the Supreme Lord, then when one is actually fixed in that standard of devotional service, then the yoga maya potency, another potency will come, by which the devotees forget that Krishna is the Supreme Lord and think of him as their friend, lover, son, like this, different relationships. So this cannot be done artificially, step by step. We have to go through. But even in the beginning stages of devotional service, while we're approaching the Supreme Lord with great awe and reverence, we're also hearing Krishna book, we're hearing about Lord Chaitanya, what he has come. This is our goal to... This is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's wish. Not that it can be done artificially, simply by imagining it, but it's Chaitanya Mahaprabhu particularly came to distribute love of God beyond awe and reverence. That was already there. Already in the world when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came, there was already this worship of the Supreme Lord in awe and reverence. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to give something which had not been given before. Anarpita chirin chirat kurunya avatirna kalo samapyata manatachvala rasna swabhakti shriyam. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu particularly came to give that which had not been given before, that highest level of love of himself beyond all rules and regulations. So the devotees, keeping that in mind, very strictly follow all the rules and regulations so that they can become purified of thinking that I am the Supreme Lord and understand that Krishna is the Supreme Lord, surrender to him, and then go further, just like Ramananda Rai. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was asking, go further, go further, go further. So Ramananda Rai said, surrender to Krishna. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, go further, go further, go further. So this is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's contribution to push us further and further, further and further, further and further on in devotional service. That is the ever-increasing process. All devotees should be always thinking how to go further, how to advance more and more in Krishna consciousness, how to give ourselves more and more to Krishna. This is the essence of understanding Krishna in this, you see, we're talking about very intimate understanding. How to understand Krishna intimately, not by artificially imitating them, but by giving ourselves to Krishna, fully surrendering to Krishna. Then Krishna reveals himself. Krishna wants to do that. Krishna wants to reveal himself to us fully. But we're not capable to understand Krishna or accept Krishna as long as we have dirty things within the heart. Therefore Krishna consciousness begins with chanting. Specifically, what is the first result of chanting? Chito dharmana marjanam, the heart becomes cleansed. So this chanting, in the beginning when people come, we explain to them about Krishna consciousness, we ask them, chant Hare Krishna. So chanting, with chanting, purification is going on. In chanting, in the initial stages, chanting in advancing stages, and chanting in most advanced stages. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he was chanting. And sometimes he couldn't chant because his voice was choked up in love. Nayanam Daladashu Dharaya Madhuram Dadgara Adhiram. He was aspiring for that thing because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was already chanting like that. His voice is choked up in ecstasy. Hairs of the body are standing on end. So we are chanting. We're chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is chanting. It's same words, Hare Krishna. But there's difference. Our chanting is, we're trying, or at least we hope we're trying, to chant with attention as the demigods are doing, fixing our mind. Because our mind is very wicked. Our mind is attracted to everything in the universe except Krishna. We're so unfortunate. Due to our bad luck, means our bad mentality inherited from previous births, we have no taste for this chanting. We have no feeling for that. So we are chanting and praying for that day when there will be some taste. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is chanting. And he's chanting and we're chanting and we're chanting. One round, two rounds, 16 minutes. Job. Finish. We may be thinking. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he can't stop chanting. That is taste. So that is our aim, to come to that platform where we have taste. And what taste is there? We're hearing Bhagavatam. We're chanting Hare Krishna, we're associating with devotees, just so that some taste will come. The taste will come when we give up the lower taste. We cannot have both tastes. As long as we have the taste for material enjoyment, then we are cheating ourselves of the taste of spiritual enjoyment. The taste of Krishna consciousness, that even one drop of that is worth more than everything in the whole universe. Multiplied millions of times. Pure devotees in these offers become Brahma, become Indra, take any position you want. And you say, no, I'm not interested. This Dhruv Maharaj, first of all, he was in his childhood, he was performing austerities so that he could get a kingdom greater than that of Brahma. He had a great material ambition. But later on, in his life, he met Kuvera, the treasurer of the demigods, rich, who offered him a benediction. Take what you like, what do you want? He said, please bless me with pure devotion to Krishna. He was no longer interested in whatever material benedictions could be given. So this is the process. Dhruv Maharaj, at one point, he was Artharthi, he wanted some money, wanted some material benediction. But by going on in devotional service, under the guidance of great pure devotee, Mahabhagavat, Narad Muni, then he became purified, so much so that he could say without hesitation, Kuvera offered him, what do you want? Just, I want pure devotion, which actually he was already done. The pure devotee thinks, I don't have any devotion. So this is the promise of Krishna consciousness, and we're regularly hearing that. Hearing, why are we hearing? Because purification, to give us a taste, that this is our goal, this is what we're striving for. It may seem very difficult. Krishna consciousness, sometimes it may seem very difficult, because Maya is always there. We've been close friends with Maya for many millions of lifetimes. And she doesn't want to give up our association very quickly. And we also don't want to give up her association very quickly. At the same time, we're hearing about Krishna and understanding that if I want Krishna, then I have to give up Maya. At the same time, we're thinking, oh, struggle is going on. Yes, I'll surrender to Krishna, but maybe just keep a little bit of Maya here in the corner. And then we think, oh, this Maya, oh, all these material desires are so useless. So we're struggling. Sometimes it may seem very difficult. Sometimes it may seem to us almost hopeless. How are we going to ever become free of these material desires? How am I ever going to surrender to Krishna? But by hearing again and again, Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya, then gradually that effect will be there. But all the bad things in the heart will diminish. Bhagavati Tama Shvati Bhakti Bhavati Naishtiki. Fixed up gradually by hearing Bhagavatam regularly, hearing about Krishna, and gradually the natural effect of hearing about Krishna is that our desire to serve Krishna comes up more and more, so that we become fixed in devotional service. So what's the conclusion? Keep on going in devotional service. Remember, Krishna is the Supreme Lord. He is our best friend. He is Vishakhapi, who provides for everyone and diminishes everyone's suffering, particularly those who are making the endeavor to surrender to Him, to come close to Him. Krishna personally looks after them and helps them in devotional life. So no one should become discouraged. That is also there. Sometimes you see devotees become discouraged and they don't go on the path of devotional service. But don't become discouraged. Everyone should simply go on with this process, chanting about Krishna, hearing about Krishna. And in this way, surely, in due course of time, even if it takes us millions of births, what else is there to do? What else should we do? Let us go on with this devotional process. Especially, we are very, very fortunate. We cannot estimate our fortune. Even the demigods are praying for the fortune to become members of Lord Chaitanya's Sankirtan movement. So we have this opportunity. We've been given this chance. So, who are we? We're not devas, we're not Brahma and Yashi. But we, that's Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy. Patita Pavana Gaurahari. He especially extends his mercy to those who are fallen. So, certainly compared to the estimation of demigods, we are all fallen. Everyone in this material world is fallen. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has given us this wonderful opportunity to chant Hare Krishna, hear about Krishna, become attracted to Krishna. So let us not become disappointed. Let us keep on with the process. There may be so many causes for disappointment. Undoubtedly, there will be. But let us keep on with this process. And the promise is there. If we go on with this process, as Prabhupada many times said, if you go on with this, the day will come when you can see Krishna face to face and talk with Him. And maybe even steal his lunchbox. The coward boys are doing that. And Prabhupada one time said, devotees were asking Prabhupada, "Prabhupada, what do you want to do? What are your plans?" Prabhupada said, "Actually, all I want to do is go to Goloka Vrindavan and steal Krishna's ladus." So that is the facility offered to a pure devotee. Krishna is extending that facility to everyone. Let us take the opportunity. Chanting, go on chanting, hearing the classes, serving Krishna, and the day will come. Even though we are so fallen, we are so fortunate to have come in this movement, and Srila Prabhupada is promising the day will come if you continue with this process, when you can see Krishna face to face. So we should have faith in them, that even though I'm rotten and fallen and nasty, but Chaitanya Krishna is very kind, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is very kind, Prabhupada is very kind. So many devotees, they're all helping us. And even though I'm a rascal, surely they will help me if I simply continue with this process. And even though it may be many, many millions of lifetimes, if I simply stick to this, then the day will come, we are promised, where we can see Krishna. Which opportunity, the demigods, they're not normally getting. You see, they're only going to the shore of the ocean. Normally even the demigods can't see Krishna face to face. Krishna is giving that opportunity. Hare Krishna. Any question? Nayan Ranjan has a question. Yes. What's your question? Where's the mic? One of those technical Nayan Ranjan questions. No?
Like you said, while concluding your class, that the demigod cannot see Krishna face to face with
Generally not, although he gave them the opportunity when he came in his lila. Normally they have to go to the shore of the ocean of Mil, but then he called them all to be members of the Yadu dynasty, and then they were. So why is Krishna calling those who are not his pure devotees to live with him, to make them pure devotees? Just like we are being given the opportunity to worship the deity. How can we worship the deity? How can we touch Krishna and dress Krishna? Offer food to Krishna? Why should Krishna take anything that we offer when Mother Yashoda and Radharani are cooking for him? He's doing that to give us the opportunity to become pure devotees. As he sees, there is some spark, some idea of devotion. So he wants to fan them. That's his mercy. That's all.
Without pure devotion, one cannot see Krishna face to face.
Generally, but if Krishna reveals, if he wants, he can show himself to him. It's like we're seeing Krishna. Here he is. And we see him means, what are we seeing? We may see stone. Pure devotee understands this is Krishna. He's also showing himself to us. Just our ability to perceive is covered over by our lack of faith, lack of devotion. Otherwise Krishna is showing himself. Krishna, that's his great mercy. He comes to this world and he goes to so many. When he comes, Balaram traveled all over India, Ram traveled all over. Krishna went the other day, I was saying, to Kundina, Kashi, and he even went through the whole covering of the universe to see Mahavishnu, and in all the coverings of the universes there are so many living beings also. So he went to so many places, and along the way there are so many different people, and those who were pious and devotees, they welcomed him, and in this way they all became purified. That is his great mercy. Krishna comes to this world out of his mercy. Otherwise normally we can't see Krishna, but Krishna comes just to save us. That's his great mercy. And those who are pure devotees, they see Krishna face to face all the time. For others, Krishna gives them some opportunity to bring them to that platform. Yeah?
You explained very nicely about approaching Krishna, not in how in an intimate way for awe and reverence. So, now there are some devotees, they feel that Prabhupada also said that they are worshipping Radha and Krishna actually as Lakshmi Narayan because of awe and reverence. And also Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur says that Krishna in Goloka Vrindavan, he did not necessarily accept the prayer with awe and reverence which we offer in devotion to Vishwanatha. So there are some devotees who feel that actually one should directly approach Krishna without awe and reverence. They are Siddha, Swarup Siddha, just meditate on that from the very beginning.
Well, they can feel whatever they like, but the process is you have to follow the process given by the acharyas. You can, I will dress Krishna in some modern pants and shirt, Levi jeans, because I feel like, why not? It's my own expression of feeling for Krishna. Even if you say you're going to approach Krishna very in your own feeling, that feeling, you don't know what Krishna wants. You have to learn from an acharya. So the acharya says, you rascal, don't think you can do anything without taking my guidance. You worship the rules and regulations like this. Otherwise, completely, you see, I heard there was one woman who pushed him out. So she said, I'm keeping my deity of Gopal, just like my child. So I like to watch TV, so Gopal must also like to put him on a seat and let him watch TV. This is nonsense, speculation. You don't know what Krishna wants, therefore you have to worship with rules and regulations. And gradually it becomes revealed to us by the acharya who's guiding. That's what Krishna wants. You just can't jump into Goloka Vrindavan and say, okay Radharani, I'm here now, get out of the way. I'm going to worship Krishna in my own way. You won't get there. You'll take a big jump, but you jump out into space and fall down into hell. You won't get up to the Goloka Vrindavan.
Mother, you mentioned that even if it takes billions of lifetimes for us to see Krishna face to face, it doesn't matter, we should go. Prabhupada also mentioned that we may go back to God
in his very life.
In his very life.
Okay, let's aim for that. But you see, the attitude of a devotee is, he feels, I'm not at all qualified to go back to God. Then it may be also. So, but his attitude is, let me go on serving Krishna. Even if Krishna doesn't give me, I'm not worthy to go back to Godhead. So even if I don't go immediately, but let me go on serving Krishna. And with that attitude, you'll go back to Godhead very quickly. If you think that, just like that story of the Brahmana and the cobbler, if you think, I'm doing my puja and everything, I'm just a matter of days before I go back to Godhead. You know that story? Do you know that story? Narada Muni came to the Brahmana, and then he came back from Lord Vishnu, and he saw the Brahmana. Actually, you don't know when you're going back to Godhead. It's a long time. He thought he was going immediately. So if we think we're qualified, that becomes our immediate disqualification. But if we think we're disqualified, that becomes our immediate qualification. Krishna doesn't like pride in his devotees. As soon as the devotee thinks I'm very great, then mercy is cut off. So even Krishna, he accepts very intimate association with his devotees, but if the devotees, if they become proud, then Krishna, he doesn't accept that. He is, after all, the Supreme Lord. Mahabhujaya Namaha.
I have a question. Why do you worship the Guru?
The question is, why do I worship the Guru?
Why do you worship?
Yeah, I worship Prabhupada because he saved me from the... Anyway, I don't want to tell you what he saved me from, otherwise you...
No,
don't let me in this temple.
Why every day? Why every day?
Yeah, you're right. It shouldn't be every day, it should be every moment. Any other question?
Maharaj, Krishna has multiple incarnations, and it is described that these incarnations are impossible to count, like the waves in the ocean. So if some pretender may say, because only some major incarnations are mentioned in the scriptures, so if some pretender may say that I am one of the incarnations which are not mentioned in the scriptures and interviews. So how to...
What should we do or say to them? Well, one time, when Prabhupada was preaching in America, at that time, there was one very prominent so-called incarnation called Guru Maharaj Ji, otherwise known as Bal Yogeshwar. So he was very prominent and he was calling himself Krishna. Now he's retired incarnation. He got a lot of money and he got an American wife, so, people starting to become unpopular, so he retired with all his money and he's just living peacefully and waiting to go to hell. So, one devotee asked Prabhupada, well, what should we say to this person? And Prabhupada turned the question to the other devotees, well, what should we say? What should we do? So different devotees said that, well, in the scripture it's not mentioned, and other devotees gave different ideas. And Prabhupada was saying, yeah. Then one devotee said that, Prabhupada, there's one woman, she was so upset that this person was calling himself God, that she got on a plate, she bought a big cream pie. Do you know what that is? It's like a cake with a big layer of cream on it. So she came up to him in a public meeting and stuck it in his face. So there was all cream all dripping down. They do that to Bill Gates from time to time also, just to show he's not such a big guy. So Prabhupada said, yes, this is what you should do. Put a cream pie in their face. Just like this, you see in Andhra Pradesh particularly, this Sai Baba was so popular, so many people thought he's God. But after that assassination attempt, where people came to kill him and he locked the door and called the security guards, then after that, his popularity has gone down, because people understand And what kind of God is this who has to lock the door and call the security guards? So a little humiliation is in order. But actually, by distributing, Prabhupada also said, he said different things. In one purport in the Bhagavatam, he said that the Krishna conscious movement declares war against these bogus incarnations. In another letter, Prabhupada said that simply by distributing his books, all these bogus incarnations, gurus and everything else, they'll all be finished. So that's the fact. And he also said that those who are more sincere, they'll be attracted to these books. So now we see, actually, many times, everything I've said many times, I'll say it again. When I first came here to India, preaching here was very difficult, and even Prabhupada so many times said, why aren't the Indian people taking this movement seriously? Prabhupada so many times said that Indians should lead the Krishna conscious movement, preach all over the world. But now we see so many Indian people are coming, joining this movement, because they read Prabhupada's books, and they understand this is the actual culture. This is, if you want the real thing of our culture, this is it. So, by all our preaching activities, and particularly by distributing these books, those who are more sincere will understand that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and all these so-called incarnations are simply bogus. And by all these activities, chanting, preaching programs, distributing prasad, people come here and take darshan, they'll become purified enough so that when they read, first they'll have an interest to read the book, and then when they read the book, they can understand that this is actually a fact.
Maharaj, finding Chaitanya Charitamrita, in the discussions between Sanatana Goswami and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Sanatana Goswami presents Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to elaborate on the symptoms by which an incarnation will be known. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says that incarnation will never say that he is incarnation of the Lord. So, but we find that Lord Krishna, throughout the Gita, he says, I am the absolute truth, I am the supreme, like that we find. So how do we understand this?
Well, particularly in Kali Yuga, an incarnation is not supposed to say, because if he says, Prabhupada explained that, then so many people will imitate that. Otherwise, we find other incarnations establishing themselves. That's also true. Krishna is the source of all incarnations. But at the same time, we find when Krishna is speaking Gita, he establishes himself. Otherwise, not all the time. But he didn't deny it also. All the time people are offering prayers to him. We find throughout the Bhagavatam, there are so many prayers to Krishna. Even Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he never established himself as God, and sometimes he would protest when people called him God. But other times he would accept it. He would accept their worship as the Supreme Lord. Abadhut.
Maharaj, one more question. We have the four qualified sampradayas. But of which three sampradayas, we say that Vishnu is the avatari.
That's a common question. This is also discussed in Chaitanya Charitamrita. That's established from Shastra, particularly from Srimad Bhagavatam. That Lord Brahma, he is saying that because he thought, Lord Brahma thought, who is this little boy Krishna? How can he be God? I know God. He's my father, Narayana. So who is this little boy? Krishna. Then he took the cows and calves away and the cowherd boys. Then afterwards he said that, yes, actually you are the source of Lord Narayana. And this has been elaborately established by Jiva Goswami, Krishna's two Bhagavan Swayam, from the Bhagavatam, which is among all the Shastras, Srimad Bhagavatam, Pramana Mamalam. It is the topmost Pramana. But then again, in the chapter of Chaitanya Charitamrita, I believe it's chapter 3 of Adi Leela, Krishna's Kaviraj Goswami elaborately establishes that Krishna is the source of Vishnu, not vice versa. Although the Vishnu Purana says, because the Sri Vaishnavas, they give importance to the Vishnu Purana more than the Bhagavad Purana, at least in the matters of philosophy. So that cannot be untrue because it's also Shastra. So Krishna's Kaviraj Goswami says that's also true because Krishna, all the different incarnations, including Krishna, they manifest themselves from the Purusha Avatar, from Shiradaksha Vishnu. So it's also true in one sense that Krishna comes from Vishnu. So it's just a matter of, it's a matter of vision. Actually, Krishna is original. But if you say Vishnu is original, it's also not untrue, but not in the fullest context. On the other hand, it's not... I so many times have been asked this question, but I tell people, this is not our argument. If you want to say Vishnu is supreme, thank you very much. We congratulate you. We're going all over the world preaching Vishnu is supreme, and very few people are accepting it. So if you accept Vishnu is supreme, very good. And if you have that angle or bhavana that Krishna is an incarnation of Vishnu, that's all, we're not against that. You know, we congratulate you on that. Now, our real argument is with Mayavadis and atheists. So if people think like that, that's alright. Just like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he was in Sri Ranga, with Venkata Bhatt, who was a great scholar of the Sri Sampradaya, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu didn't actually argue with him. It wasn't a debate in the sense, but in a joking manner, he established, in a friendly manner, he established actually Krishna is supreme. And he gave the example of how Lakshmi, she's already the wife, eternal consort of Lord Vishnu, but still she desired to enter into Krishna's pastimes because they are more relishable. So in this way Chaitanya Mahaprabhu established it, but he didn't make a big argument or a big issue or condemn those who thought in that way. So in the same way, we may not do also. But we find nowadays that many Sri Vaishnavas, people who are born in that tradition, they are becoming attracted to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement because they find that actually it's very relishable. Even beyond strictly following rules and regulations, this chanting and dancing is very relishable and they're becoming attracted. Are you from Sri Vaishnava background? Are you from Sri Vaishnava background? No, I'm just asking a question.
Also, Maharaj, supremacy is established according to quality of Krishna Sundar. And according to quality of Krishna
Sundar. Right, that's what I was saying. There are so many things could be said. Just like I could have also said Krishna is undefiled. That means there are so many things can be said. Why Lakshmi became attracted to Krishna? Because he has qualities which Vishnu doesn't have. That also has to be understood. Maharaj is saying so many points are established.
In your Quran, Vashyavaya is established as Supreme Personality of Godhead. But ultimately, the information we have in the Srimad Bhagavatam is the final attachment and the partner's attachment. By the same compiler.
Yeah.
So why should we have any doubts?
Yeah, that's true. Well, doubts may be there because that is our nature. We're rascals. We don't have full faith in Krishna. And there are so many people maybe saying so many things. Therefore, the acharyas come and they explain the Shastra conclusively. Shastra, actually, as Maharaj says, Shastra in itself is conclusive. But because we are foolish, we need the acharyas to reveal to us how the Shastra is conclusive. Just the very line itself, Krishna is still Bhagavan Swayam, that in itself is conclusive. But because we all say, well, what about this, what, why, when, good. Therefore the acharyas come and say, well, this doubt, okay, is the answer to that. This doubt, that's the answer to that. This doubt, that's the answer to that. Not necessarily eliminated, but their influence can be curtailed. There will always be some foolish rascals in this world. We already have, it's called ISKCON. ISKCON should establish ISKCON.
The media,
well, that's also part of our preaching that we should do. Our preaching mission is to establish the reality to all the media possible, TV, newspaper, all these things. Actually, in one sense, this gives us more chance to preach, because if there are so many bogus ideas coming out, then it gives us a platform. The doubts or the misconceptions that arise in people's minds are a platform for us to address the actual fact that Krishna is supreme. So in one sense, all these bogus incarnations, they're giving an opportunity to preach, and yes, let us take it. That is exactly what is our preaching strategy. That has to be discussed. Because even Prabhupada at different times would say different things and judging the time and the place and the circumstance. But the general point is that certainly we should preach. We should preach vigorously through all the media possible. You're also doing those TV programs. That's had a tremendous effect. I know, because all the time, wherever I go in India, people are coming up to me and saying, I saw you on TV. They take it very, TV. They take it very seriously. So this kind of thing, we should do more, as much as possible. By all means, preach.
It's going to be stopped.
What is going to be stopped? Yeah. Well, anyway, like I said, these are details. Exactly how to enact the strategy, that may be a big discussion. But certain Prabhupada said we should always be agitating our minds. Our mind is anyway agitated. But instead of being agitated for Maya, if we agitate it, how to spread this movement more and more, then that agitation will actually make our mind peaceful and do good to others. All right? Hare Krishna, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Srimad Bhagavatam Mahapurana ki jai.